Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now, as promised, a little more on the breaking news this morning, because as we've been hearing, former White House counsel to Donald Trump, Pat Cipollone, has now agreed to a recorded interview with the January 6th commission, will be videotaped, which means they can play it during one of the televised sessions, but he's not going to testify live in person. Reports are that it will be transcribed and videotaped. So, as I say, excerpts could show up in future public hearings. And joining me to talk for a few minutes on the significance of this development, I'm joined by Kyle Chaney, senior legal affairs reporter for Politico. Hey, Kyle, thanks for jumping on very short notice. Welcome back to WNYC.
Of course. Good to be with you, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Remind everybody, why do we care about Pat Cipollone's testimony so much?
For a lot of reasons. He was essentially the ubiquitous witness to almost all of the machinations that Donald Trump and his closest allies were undertaking in the weeks before January 6th and the attack on the Capitol. And so he weighed in on a lot of the efforts, you know, appoint false electors to sort of create a controversy where there wasn't one, to strategize around pressuring Mike Pence to try to overturn the election on January 6th. And he was in a lot of those meetings and advocated against them in many cases. He was there at least for part of the day on January 6th, is our understanding. And according to the star witness, Cassidy Hutchinson's testimony, was very concerned about the legality of a potential march to the Capitol that Donald Trump wanted to do. So for so many reasons, Pat Cipollone is a crucial witness.
And as I understand it, he was subpoenaed last week following the testimony of Cassidy Hutchinson, the former aide to Trump, chief of staff Mark Meadows, young woman who gave such dramatic testimony, probably because of what she said in this 25-second clip.
Mr. Cipollone said something to the effect of, please make sure we don't go up to the Capitol, Cassidy. Keep in touch with me. We're going to get charged with every crime imaginable if we make that movement happen.
And do you remember which crimes Mr. Cipollone was concerned with?
In the days leading up to the 6th, we had conversations about potentially obstructing justice or defrauding the electoral count.
Cassidy Hutchinson last week with Congresswoman Liz Cheney during the questioning. Kyle, would you say that's what they wanted to know more about? Is there a particular follow-up question to that exchange that we can expect Pat Cipollone to be asked?
Yes. I think that is certainly what prompted the urgency behind subpoenaing him last week, although there's much more he can shed light on. I would suspect they're going to want to know about that conversation with Cassidy Hutchinson. Did it happen as she described it? Was he worried about legal exposure for the president or others in the White House for their roles in the January 6th rally and the ultimate march of the Donald Trump supporters to the Capitol, which Trump, by many accounts, wanted to join but was dissuaded at the last moment despite his protests? I would suspect that they're going to want to know all about the TikTok, I guess, the minute-by-minute movements that Donald Trump made on that day and his legal advice along the way.
In pursuit of what? Are they trying to build a criminal case against Trump, or in pursuit of what exactly?
Well, as you heard Cassidy Hutchinson say, there was concern within the White House that there was legal exposure here, whether it was obstructing justice, obstructing Congress, defrauding the public. These are crimes the Select Committee has already previously said they believe Donald Trump may have committed in his efforts to overturn the election. So, yes, this would certainly serve multiple purposes. It would complete the narrative of that day, which they're trying to do, but also potentially factor into a future legal case against Trump or others in his orbit.
And Pat Cipollone has been like the ghost of Christmas past at the hearing so far. You know, not really there, but a huge presence in people's minds. And as we heard from Cassidy Hutchinson's testimony, on people's lips. But maybe it's worth talking about what the White House counsel is and who the White House counsel really represents. I mean, that's the job that John Dean had for Nixon before he kind of turned state's witness in the Watergate investigation. What does White House counsel do? I mean, he wasn't Trump's lawyer like Rudy Giuliani was Trump's lawyer.
Right.
So what does a White House counsel do?
Well, I think what you described is sort of the crux of the issue is that Donald Trump viewed people like Pat Cipollone as personal lawyers, people who were out to defend his interests, when in reality the White House counsel essentially represents the presidency, the institution, the office, and those things aren't always in sync with the occupant of that office. And so the question is, I think, we saw during the first impeachment, Pat Cipollone sort of acted as a major defender of Trump, the person. But while Trump was sitting in that office, now Trump is not in that office. Cipollone's not in that office. And the question is, how does he view his role today, particularly now that he's not in a sitting administration?
I believe he has given already an informal interview of some mm-hmm. kind to the committee. So what are the implications of going on the record and going on videotape?
Well, a few things. We've seen the committee effectively deploy some of this video testimony. In fact, I think they prefer it in some ways because they could sort of clip the most potent pieces of the testimony without any of the, potential obfuscation or beating around the bush in certain areas. They can really hammer home and distill it to the most important moments.
I would imagine that a lot of Americans, even if they haven't watched the hearings, if they just watched, little news bleeps, speaking of bleeps, will remember one thing, and it's probably Attorney General William Barr calling Trump's stolen election claims bleep, bleep, BS.
Right. Well, exactly. And what Cassidy Hutchinson said in live testimony, which was extremely potent, some of that stuff the committee only learned recently since Cipollone sat down for his informal interview. So when they talk to him this week, it's going to be asking him about certain things for the first time. So he may not have already previewed what he might say on some of these subjects.
Has the fact that he was the White House counsel led him to decline testifying more fully previously because of attorney-client privilege?
One thing I'm very eager to see is what the sort of terms of this testimony on Friday will be, because that is the core issue, is the institutional concerns about attorney-client privilege, executive privilege. There's a lot of dispute about whether a former president is entitled to any of that. And as we said, the White House counsel is not the president's personal lawyer. So where attorney-client privilege fits in is also a debatable point. But if Pat Cipollone is concerned about those things, the committee has to contend with them. So I'm very curious what he's willing to answer here and what they've negotiated to see how fulsome he could be in his cooperation.
So this is going to be, I'm seeing one report that says Friday, one report that at least says by Friday. Well, it's already Wednesday, so it can only be today, tomorrow, or Friday. And then I'm seeing that the next public hearing is going to be next Tuesday at 10 o'clock. Do you know anything about that?
Yes, we don't know. It's been noticed. It's on the calendar. We don't know the subject yet. We anticipate that it's probably about domestic extremism and its connections to the Trump White House. That's something the committee has talked about doing. They do want to do another hearing on Trump's actions within the White House on January 6th. That may be where some of Cipollone's testimony comes into play. So that's when I'd expect to see the video from him. So at least one hearing next week. No certain topic, but probably domestic extremism.
Well, I am certainly going to be interested to hear, because I've been saying this is one of the biggest unanswered questions. How much did Trump know about the violence that was being planned in advance by the Proud Boys, the Oath Keepers, anybody? How much did he know about it? Which, if it was a lot or even maybe anything, really increases his culpability. But we don't know yet. Kyle Chaney, senior legal affairs reporter for Politico. Thanks for jumping back on.
Thanks for having me.